Please turn in your Bibles to Psalm 127, page 518 in the provided Bibles. I'll say a little bit more about the background and the particular details of this psalm and how it came to be within the sermon, so we will read it and hear the word of the Lord from Psalm 127. A song of ascents of Solomon. Unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. It is in vain that you rise up early and go late to rest, eating the bread of anxious toil. For he gives to his beloved sleep. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord, the fruit of the womb a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior are the children of one's youth. Blessed is the man who fills his quiver with them. He shall not be put to shame when he speaks with his enemies in the gate. May the Lord bless his word to his people. Congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, once I had finished school, I spent 2 years studying at a New Zealand polytech where I studied architectural drafting. And a big part of that course was becoming familiar with NZS 3604. I see a flicker of recognition out there in the congregation, or maybe it's an inward groan or two. NZS 3604 is the building code for timber-framed buildings in New Zealand. If you present your plans to the City Council and they do not conform to NZS 3604, they will come back with a big red denied stamp on every page. Psalm 127 is the believer's NZS 3604. Psalm 127 tells us how to build successfully. What we are going to see is that the building that is in view in this psalm has to do with families. Today it has been our joy to witness the baptism of Peter, the reaffirmation of faith of Rudy and Jacoba. We have heard them make solemn vows. They have promised to do all in their power to instruct Peter in the truth of the Christian faith and to lead him by their example to follow Christ. And we as a congregation have been charged to pray for Peter, help care for his instruction in the faith, and encourage and sustain him in the fellowship of believers. And what we shall see is that these are the sorts of things that are in view from Psalm 127. With this psalm, then, our covenant God provides his people with a building code. And we see this under four headings this afternoon as we take note of the result of faithless building. And secondly, as we consider the remedy for faithless building. Thirdly, as we look at the requirement to build. And fourthly, as we consider the rewards for faithful builders. So we begin with the result of faithless building, and largely it can be seen in a word that is repeated three times throughout verses 1 and 2, and that word is vain. Now you'll see from the title of this psalm that it is a song of ascents. Psalms 120 through 134 are the songs of ascents. As best as we understand, the Jewish people would sing these psalms as they approached Jerusalem for one of the three national feasts that they would attend there every year. We see also that it's a psalm of Solomon. Solomon was the son of King David. Solomon became the king of Israel. And it was Solomon who was told by God to build him a temple in Jerusalem. And he did. You can read about that in 1 Kings 5 through 8. So we can see why Solomon was well qualified to write about building and keeping a watch out over a city. But of course, the mention of Solomon's name and the three times repeated use of the word vain should be reminding all of us here of the book of Ecclesiastes, right? We just studied the book of Ecclesiastes, written by Solomon, and 37 times in that book you read the word vain or vanity, including this memorable verse, "Vanity of vanities," says the preacher, "vanity of vanities, all is vanity." So the book of Ecclesiastes simply says in much more detail what Psalm 127 says here in these few verses, which is that faithless anything is vain. You can build, you can study, you can pursue pleasure, you can try hard to keep a watch over all things, but without the Lord at the center of these things, they're vain. Well, what does this word vain mean? Well, in relation to actual building, we have a perfect illustration of this in the Bible. Can you boys and girls think which Bible story I'm talking about? A building project that was done in vain? It's the big Tower of Babel. Those people gathered there in the book of Genesis, and we are told in Genesis 11 that they said, "Let us build ourselves a city and a tower with its top in the heavens, and let us make a name for ourselves." But the Lord was angered by this, and so he confused the language of the people, and we read, they left off building the city. What had been designed to have its top in the heavens ended up being a half-hearted, crumbling, useless ruin. The very picture of vanity. Synonyms for vain are useless, empty, worthless, pointless, hollow, futile, meaningless. Vain basically means that all your hard work counts for nothing. I wonder if you can remember a time where you have been told that you were useless, or a piece of work that you had worked very hard on was pointless. That's not very nice. That hurts. Basically, what we are being told is that what we've done just doesn't count. It's a waste of time. No one likes to be told that their work is useless. So, Rudy and Jacoba, people of God, heed the warning of Scripture from Psalm 127. It's possible to be very busy and very active, even with things that in and of themselves are very good, in vain. The result of faithless building is useless, empty, worthless, pointless, hollow, futile, and meaningless. But our emphasis on the word faithless immediately points us to the remedy for faithless building. And the remedy can be found in the person whose name is repeated twice in verse 1, the Lord. I said earlier that this psalm is one of a group of psalms known as the Psalms of Ascent, the Songs of Ascent. I want you to listen to phrases from the opening verses of every one of those psalms to see where the people's attention was being focused. Psalm 120, "Deliver me, O Lord." Psalm 121, "My help comes from the Lord." Psalm 122, "Let us go to the house of the Lord." 123, "Our eyes look to the Lord." 124, "If it had not been the Lord who was on our side." 125, "Those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion." I think you're getting the idea. We can quote all of Psalm 134, the last one. All of them have the Lord right at the beginning, but listen to Psalm 134. Come bless the Lord, all you servants of the Lord, who stand by night in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands to the holy place and bless the Lord. May the Lord bless you from Zion, He who made heaven and earth. Can you almost hear the voice of the people singing as they make their way to Jerusalem? And what do you hear again and again as they sing? The Lord! The Lord! So, what is the key to faithful building? What is the remedy against faithless building? The knowledge of, belief in, love for, and obedience to the Lord. And in Israel's case, this was the one God of Israel who had revealed himself to his people by his covenant name, the Lord. But you and me, as New Testament believers, we know that God is one God in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Listen to these words from Philippians 2, verses 8 to 9. There we are told that Jesus humbled himself to the point of death on a cross. God has highly exalted him and given him the name that is above every other name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow and confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. The key to faithful building for you and me is the knowledge of, belief in, love for, and obedience to the Lord Jesus. And Hebrews 12 verse 2 spells this out very plainly. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Who founded or began or established your faith? The Lord Jesus, who is perfecting or growing or building your faith? The Lord Jesus. He is the one in whom you must believe in order to be saved. The Lord Jesus. And earlier we read from Ephesians 2. There we read that the church is the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone. In him you are also being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Holy Spirit. So Jesus is the master builder. Jesus is the master builder. The only buildings that will not be built in vain are those built by the Lord Jesus. Now, to see what this means for us today in terms of what we are to do in response, we have to take a step back for a minute and see that the psalm is not just talking about bricks and mortar and timber construction. And why it is that the psalm seems to switch from building and cities to children. You see, the way that the Hebrew language works is that you have one word made up of two consonants, and from that word you get a whole family of words that are related and connected. Banah means to build. It's related to Ben, which means son, and Bat, which means daughter, and Bayit, which means house. They're all part of the same family of Hebrew words. You might even remember from the Bible that when the Bible describes the sons and daughters of Jacob, it calls them the house of Jacob or the household of Jacob. So when we read here of the Lord building a house, we need to be thinking family. A house was where a family lived. And a city was where families lived in houses, and work was done to provide for a family. That means, congregation, that first and foremost, Psalm 127 is a call to prayer. Because the Lord Jesus Christ is the only one who can build faith, you must pray for your family and for each other's families. Rudy and Jacoba, pray for Peter. Pray for little Rudy. Parents, pray for your children. People of God, pray for all of the children in the congregation. Pray that the Lord Jesus would make himself known to them and bring them to faith and repentance. Pray that he would build them up in faith and perfect their faith. And pray this also for each other. Faith will only be found among us and grow among us if we pray to the Lord Jesus, who is the one who builds faith. The remedy for faithless building is belief in the Lord Jesus. Now, we have to quickly go on to note that alongside the remedy for faithless building, there is also the requirement to build. It is the Lord who builds the house. We see that very clearly in verse 1. It is the Lord Jesus who founds and perfects faith. But note that the faithful builders are not sitting in their lazy boys watching the football or smelling the roses. Lord, you can do whatever you want to do. I'm busy with the football. Now, what we have said about the Lord Jesus being the one who builds faith in his people does not excuse us from the activity of building. The people described in verse 1 are building house. And in verse 2, they are watching over a city. And they are toiling long and hard at their labors. I've mentioned before what Oliver Cromwell once said to his soldiers, "Trust in God and keep your gunpowder dry." Cromwell's point was that the man who took no care over the state of his gunpowder could hardly blame God when he pressed his trigger and the gun didn't fire. God is a God who has chosen to cause guns to fire only when there is dry gunpowder. And it's the same with building faith. God is a God who has chosen to use very ordinary means to build up the faith of his people. That's why we said before that we must be a people of prayer. Prayer is the chief tool of faith because prayer reminds us that everything comes to us from our Father in heaven. Jesus said, "And whatever you ask in prayer, you will receive if you have faith." So, Rudy and Jacoba, pray for your children, pray with your children, pray in front of your children. Prayer is one of the chief means that the Lord Jesus delights to use to build faith. But you must also read the Bible with your children and teach them to read the Bible themselves. And because this psalm starts with a house but moves on to a city, we see that the Lord delights to build faith within a church. He joins us to other families and other individuals in a congregation so that we can support one another in the work of building families. And so bring your children to both of the worship services where they may feed on the living word of the Lord Jesus Christ. Bring them to places like Sunday school and catechism and cadets and gems and youth group. And because of the warning in verse 1 about the Lord being the one who builds the house, just as we expect the Lord Jesus to be king of the Sunday school curriculum, So we should expect that he is king of the Monday to Friday curriculum. So we should look to provide our children with a Christian education. The Lord Jesus is the one who builds faith. Nevertheless, we are required to build. Fourthly and finally, note what is said here about the rewards for faithful builders. And there are two rewards mentioned. First, at the end of verse 2, we read that God gives to his beloved sleep. And second, from verse 3, that children are a reward. So firstly, a few comments about sleep. In 2 Samuel 2, verse 25, we learn that King David gave his newborn son Solomon a second name. And that name was Jedidiah. Jedidiah means his beloved, meaning the Lord's beloved. And if you read verse 2 in Hebrew, the last line says, "For he gives to Jedidiah sleep." So to really understand what is being said here about sleep, let's first of all consider it in relation to King Solomon and his building project. I want you to try and imagine for a moment the potential for anxiety involved in building the temple of the Lord. Potentially. Countless meetings with designers and builders and labor shortage and weather delays and strikes from the camel drivers and every other tradesman you can imagine. And of course, on top of that are the constant rumors about what the Babylonians are doing, or the Egyptians, or the Syrian armies. It would be enough to drive a king to an early grave. Talk about a recipe for insomnia and worry. But the building of the temple was not Solomon's project. It was God's project. And everyone involved in the building of that temple knew that they were a part of the Lord's project. They had this temple as their common focus, their common purpose. This would have had an amazing effect on the atmosphere of the building site. And God had told Solomon that he would give him peace from all his enemies around. So there was no need for Solomon to be anxious that everything somehow depended on him. And so God gave Jedidiah, Solomon, sleep. Solomon was able to sleep because he trusted in the Lord. He believed in the promises of the Lord. And he knew that ultimately the building of the temple was in the hands of the Lord. So with that in mind, if the building project of Psalm 127 is primarily about how we raise our children, can you say, "The Lord gives me sleep"? The Lord gives me sleep. I know it's His work. I'm busy as He has commanded me to be busy, but He gives me sleep. And this, of course, applies equally to whatever building projects you might be busy with, your marriage, your employment, work in the Church of Christ, your evangelistic efforts. The Lord gives me sleep. I'm seeking to be faithful as He has called me to be faithful, but the Lord gives me sleep. If these things depend on you, well, you have a recipe for worry and insomnia. If you busy yourself with the obedient building work that the Lord Jesus has called you to, all the while trusting in Him, believing in His promises, knowing that it is His work, you can sleep. You are free to enjoy the sleep that He gives you. The second reward spoken of here is children, as we see in verse 3, where they are described as a heritage and a reward. Now, before we go any further, we must note that we live in a broken and fallen world. And this has implications also for sleep and children. What we said earlier about sleep is a general truth. There can be medical reasons why sleep does not come, even for those who do trust in the Lord Jesus. And the same is so with having children. Children are a reward of the Lord. This is a general truth. But sadly, because we live in a broken and fallen world, there can be medical reasons why even devoted people of the Lord Jesus Christ are unable to have children. Now, there are all sorts of wonderful and much needed truths about children that we could explore in these verses, but we want to tie all that we have said together with one particular thought, and it is this. The growth of families is the Lord's work. The growth of families is the Lord's work. Where do children come from? We're told in verse 3. They come from the Lord. The family is God's design. He brought Eve to Adam, and he said, "Be fruitful and multiply in number." Families are of God's design, and they are the gift of God. I don't know him personally, but I read about a Reverend Moses Brown. Reverend Moses Brown had 12 children. And someone once commented, "Sir, you have as many children as Jacob." And he replied, "Yes, and I have Jacob's God to provide for them." The growth of families is the Lord's work. He grows them primarily with the very ordinary means of the efforts of parents who are part of a church community. And many commentators describe Psalm 127 and Psalm 128 as twin psalms. Both are very much about the family. Psalm 127 starts with the city and moves on to the house. Psalm 128 starts with the house and moves out to the city. The city of Zion, the city of Jerusalem. And the city of Jerusalem in the Old Testament is the church of the Lord Jesus Christ in the New Testament. We saw this in our earlier reading from Ephesians 2. This household of God built on the foundation stone of Jesus Christ. And it is to the church that the Lord has given shepherds and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ. And the work of ministry includes the work of parents seeking to raise their children unto the Lord. And it includes them doing that supported within the covenant community. In Psalm 127, our covenant God has given us a building code. That is why it is right that Rudy and Yacoba have taken these solemn vows to do all that they can to train and instruct Peter in the Christian faith and to lead him by their example to follow Jesus. And that is why we as a congregation have been charged to pray for Peter, to help care for his instruction in the faith, and encourage and sustain him in the fellowship of believers. May the Lord Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, continue to build faith among us. Amen.